Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we come to you now and we thank you for the many blessings that you give us each and every day, for this opportunity that we have to come here and worship with other believers. Lord, may our worship be pure from a pure heart, and may our love for one another be deep and all-encompassing, Lord. And Lord, as we open the Word of God today, I pray, Lord, that it would help us in our walk in Christ. And Lord, as always, give me strength to preach, for I am but a man. And in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Today we're continuing discussing Christian living and some of the different aspects of that, some of the things that we deal with on a daily basis as we walk in Christ. And you know, the things we deal with in our Christian walk are really no different than what the world deals with. It's just we have an extra power within us. Jesus Christ lives within all those who have trusted in him. And as we discussed in Sunday school, he gives us that divine nature to help us in our walk. Well, one of the most important topics that is in the Christian life is how to make decisions. How to make decisions. Now, this is because in life, that's all we do. Every one we make can affect us in some way. Now, there are different parts to this. There are moments when our decisions, they have to be made right away in a moment's notice. There's other decisions that we can think about, we can pray about, that they take time to come to a conclusion and what we should do. Some we can base off of our past mistakes, and we can make a decision based off of that. Well, I made this decision last time. It didn't work out so well, so I will change it this time. And other times, our past has nothing to do with the decisions we make. But for every person that's here today, including myself, we have to make decisions. That's just the way life goes. Sometimes we make right, sometimes we make wrong. But underneath this huge decision umbrella, we have plenty of advice given to us in the Word of God how to deal with decision making. And I'd like us for a moment to turn to the book of Psalms, chapter 147. We're going to look at verses 4 and 5. So Psalm 147, 4 and 5. I feel smarter when I sit down. I don't know why that is. I look more intelligent. No, thanks, Mary. That's good. Well, Psalms 147, verses 4 through 5. Now think about these verses here. He says, he telleth the number of the stars and calleth them all by their names. Great is our God, and of great power. His understanding is infinite. Now, I want us to think about this for a moment. You know, if you were to go online and check out numbers and all of that, people who claim to be smarter than the rest of us, they say there's about 400 billion stars in our galaxy. 400 billion stars. Now, whether or not they're right, and it's funny because they always say, well, give or take a billion, you know, so that like that's a small number, right? But let's just take that number. We know, we can tell just by looking at the sky with our human eyes, how many stars there are. There's tons of stars. And then if you look through your telescope, I have a telescope at home, you can see even more, more things, more stars. And look at what these verses say, that our God, he knows the number of them, but also knows their names. Now, isn't that amazing? And you're thinking, Pastor, what in the world does this have to do with making decisions? Well, look at the second verse that we read. In verse 5, it said, "Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite." So his understanding is infinite. Now, let me ask you a question. Would you rather go to God for advice, whose understanding is infinite, or would you rather call up Dr. Phil? Who would you rather talk to? The one who created all things, who knows the beginning and the end and is the beginning and the end, who knows all things. And also the individual who the Bible talks about, who directs our paths, who cares about every hair that is on our head. And Woody, your face, that's the hair on your face for you, okay? All right? But he knows every hair on our head, and he cares about it. And he cares about us. He cares about our life. He cares about if a sparrow falls. And he has such a great love for us, too. Couple his understanding with his love for us. Now, he came and he died on the cross for us so that we could spend eternity in heaven instead of eternity in hell. If he cares that much for us and he has that much understanding, he is who we must go to for proper advice. Okay, that's it. We can go home. Right? That's it. He is who we go to. Now turn back into the New Testament, to the book of James. James is New Testament towards the back, right after the book of Hebrews. James chapter 1. Now I'm bringing up this verse for a very important reason. Because most of us, no matter who you are, when we think about the decisions that we make, the ones that we really care about, it seems to be the ones that are in the moments of trial. Would you agree? You're in this moment, you're having a trial in your life, something bad is happening, and you're like, what should I do? What sort of decision should I make at this time? I don't know what to do. We've all been there at some point in our life. This is why this passage of Scripture in the book of James is so powerful when we think about what we just talked about and who God is and how almighty he is. James 1, verses 4 through 5, it says, "But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." Now, there's actually a lot of things going on in this verse, and we're only going to pull out one thing, and that is us going to God, why we go to him, and in the context of this verse. This is our first step as a believer. No matter what the decision is that we have, whether it's been something we've been thinking about for months or something we just now, it came up, and you have to make that decision right now. It doesn't really matter how long you've been thinking about it. This is the advice that is given to us in Scripture. It's wisdom in a situation. Now, I say that because the book of James right here, in the context, is talking about trials in our life and the temptations that we face there. We can either go to God for wisdom in that trial, or we can try to go to somebody else or try to make the decision ourselves. Well, Almighty God wants us to go to him. So it is about asking for wisdom during a trial. That's our context here. But that's okay, because that seems to be when we think about our decisions the most, is when we're conflicted. It doesn't take much. I mean, sometimes you're looking at a menu, right? And you're conflicted about what you should get to eat, right? So that's something that happens at a moment's notice. It's always better to get both. Okay, because you can always take home the leftovers. But here we're talking about just a trial. We get to this point in our life, we're like, okay, if I make this decision this way, this is going to happen. If I make it, the decision I make is this, then this could happen. Now, notice what just happened there. Our human minds immediately go to the negative. They immediately go to the negative when we're thinking about decisions. Now, that's okay, you're weighing pros and cons, but wouldn't it be much better if we waited upon the Lord and His decision instead of worrying about the what ifs? Go to Him and wait. A lot of our decisions don't have to be made in that second. Think of Nehemiah. When he thought about it, and he went before the king about rebuilding the walls. And now he came to talk before a king that could have killed him just for going in his presence. And what did Nehemiah do? He walked in there, but before he spoke, he immediately did what? He dropped to his knees and he prayed. He dropped to his knees and prayed, and then he requested what he went in there to request. Mentally, that's what we need to do. Doesn't mean you need to drop to your knees, but we need to pray about decisions. And what I mean by pray is we need to put God as our focus in what we are thinking about and what choice we're going to make. Now, in these verses and in these contexts, God wants us to pray, and He wants us to pray in faith, and we can talk about that. But the main thing here is that God is the giver of wisdom to those who ask for it. We should praise God for that. You see, this is a promise. This isn't, it doesn't say, if you come to me and pray, I might give you wisdom. He gives wisdom, and He gives it through His Holy Spirit. The specific direction the text takes us is to how to pray in the midst of trials, what to pray for, and where our focus should be. We shouldn't be double-minded if you were to continue on in this. So to narrow this down, when God is giving us a trial, or we have to make this some sort of decision, we are to pray in faith for wisdom and keep our focus on God's promises. Know that He's going to help you in your time of need. Sometimes Ethan, when he asks for something, he wants it right now. I know that's surprising, but he wants it right now. And so we will say, just a second, maybe we're in the middle of doing something, right? And we're like, just a second, I'll help you in a moment. That's not good enough, right? Well, the same is true of us as adults. We want the answer right now. We want the help this second. And we have a very hard time waiting upon the Lord for His wisdom and His knowledge of what we should do. Did you know that there's times in your life where we slow down, we pray, we ask God for wisdom, and while we're all bent out of shape, God's already working on the situation? How many of us has that happened to where you're worried about something and then all of a sudden that something is gone? God took care of it. And here you stayed up late, giving yourself an ulcer, worrying about it, and God already is in control. He already knows the things we're going to ask anyway. But He asked us to ask Him for a very important reason, a couple different reasons. One is when that prayer is answered, we can say, God heard me. He cares for me. He knows what is going on. When we pray, it almost cements the situation in our mind. And so when that answer comes, we're like, whoa, and our minds are blown in how much love God has for us. God gives to us knowledge when we ask for it. But it's also how we deal with that knowledge. Because you know what? Most of the wisdom that God is going to give you, the answers are already found in black and white in the Word of God. And so if you're in the Word of God and you're studying it, you'll be praying and verses will come to your mind. Oh, okay, I shouldn't make this decision this way because that would be contrary to how a Christian should act or contrary to what glorifies God. And so I'm not going to make that decision. But then how do you deal with that knowledge? How do you deal with it? You know, knowledge is power, you've heard, right? But it's only powerful in how in how you deal with it. Imagine a guy and a girl, oh, they're on a date and they're so much in love, and they go out and the guy notices. He can tell. He can tell the girl's into him. And he has that knowledge. And he asks her, are you interested in seeing me again? And she says, I sure would like that. I would like to see you again. And then he says, oh, that's just infatuation talking. Now, is that wise? He has knowledge that the girl likes him and wants to see him again, but he then comes back and says, oh, that's just infatuation. Well, it probably is, but you shouldn't mention it. You want to go on a second date, right? And she'd be like, oh, yeah, you're probably right. I'm going to take a hike, you know? But so he has knowledge, but it's not wisdom talking. Wisdom says, I would like that too. You know, let's do that. Let's see each other again. Okay? So we have to use the knowledge God has given us. So if you're worried about tomorrow, which is a sin, but if you're worried about tomorrow and you're reading the verses that talk about God providing for our needs, oh, I have the knowledge. It says right here that God will provide for me. And you do not take that and hold on to that promise and you sin and you try to make it your own way. Well, your own way is futile. And you will not receive all the blessings that God had already had in store for you. So in our decision making, we've talked about the understanding or knowledge of what God is doing in our life in the midst of trials. We've talked about that many times before. And we've talked about how we need to learn how to use that knowledge wisely. So this is nothing new what we're going through right now. But the dependent believer, the individual who realizes that he is in God's hands, that he is dependent on God and it is God who they should go to, that believer goes to God and asks for wisdom. And they will say things in their mind. And these are some proper things to say. What should I do? That's okay. That's okay to ask. But how about, how should I act in this situation? Should I be mean or nasty to this other individual, if it happens to be some sort of relationship issue? Should I be nasty to them? Or how about asking this question while you're praying to God and waiting upon the Lord? What will be the most pleasing to you, Lord? Ask him that. What would be the most pleasing to you, Lord, in this situation? Not pleasing to me, not so that I can fulfill my desires in the situation, but Lord, what pleases you? Like Jesus Christ in the garden, not my will, but thine. That is the attitude we must have in regards to our decision making. What will be the most pleasing to you? Now, some of us might think, well, in every decision, every decision, I should have that sort of mentality? Yes. Because every little decision you do, every step that you take in your Christian life, there are eyes watching you. And not only that, if it happens to be a step in the wrong direction, It distorts your own personal mind, because that's what sin does. Sin is distortion in of itself. And it distorts your mind, and it causes you to keep going down that wrong path again and again. It can distort your mind in that way. So we should ask, what would be pleasing to you, Lord? What would you have for me, Lord, in this decision? How can I be a good example to those that are around me in this decision? That's why I said, you know, how should I act? Because people are going to look at how we are acting, how we deal with it. You know, one of the most powerful testimonies, and you know what? I could say that about this testimony right now. I have physically seen with a number of you as I've visited you in hospitals. I won't call you out by name and all of that. But there are a number of you sitting here right now that have had health issues, medical issues, been in the hospital. And when I go to see you, the testimony that you have with the doctors and the nurses is just awesome, because you, even in your situation, are giving glory to God, and your peace is found in Him. Do you know how precious that is to see when you walk in? And those nurses and those doctors who are not saved, they know. I guarantee you this. If you went and had an interview with a doctor or a nurse, and you sat them down and asked them, if you were to give me some attributes of your favorite patients, what would they be? And I guarantee you, it would be the believers in Jesus Christ who were actually abiding in Christ and were given God glory even in their time of hardship. And they recognize it and see it. And I see it all the time when you go in and out of the hospitals visiting people. That's awesome. You're in a trial, but you know that how you react to this trial, it either can be used of God in a good way or it can be used of Satan in a bad way. But because you have chosen to put your faith in God through your situation, it's changing people's lives that you don't even know. And God's using you. It does matter. You know, if you're coming with some of that nasty hospital food and they put it on the tree and you're like, I don't like that, and you slap it away, that's not a good testimony. You know, just pour it in your purse or something while they're not looking. But every decision we make needs to have God at its center. What can I do to glorify God? Why? Because people's lives are at stake. Their eternal lives are at stake. And that should be our main concern. So when we go to God and we ask Him for wisdom, we're not doing what the typical person does. I'm not saying this is wrong, but just think about this next time you say it. How many of us, while we're in a tribulation time, ask for strength through the time? How many of us? Okay, I do. How many of us, though, don't raise your hand for this, we probably ask for strength more than we ask for wisdom and how I can glorify God in the situation. Maybe we ask for both. Great, that's what we should be doing. But I'm just saying, we focus more on how can I overcome this without shedding tears? Because that's when we ask for strength. We're asking to emotionally get through the situation. And there's nothing wrong with that, but you have an answer already of how to get through the situation, and that is going to God for your strength. He is your strength. It's recognizing you are already my strength. And recognizing that will help you to ask for, how, Lord, then can I glorify you in the situation? How can I do that? How can you use me in this time of trial? You know, Apostle Paul talks about rejoicing in tribulation. It's okay to ask for strength or grace. It's okay to ask for deliverance. even. But with the understanding that that might not be God's will for you to be delivered from it. But one thing I can guarantee, and this is what the Bible teaches. Number one, you will go through trials. We live in a sinful world. You will go through trials. That doesn't make us happy. But while we're in the trial, we should be happy. Because we know God is using that trial to mold us, to shape us, and to use us. He's given us an opportunity to serve Him in the midst of that trial. Now, when we're in that trial, we don't feel like doing that sometimes. Why? Because we have been programmed to think about ourselves. Me, me, me. We have to get our minds on the right track. And I'm no different. I focus on myself as well. But it's something the Bible says we all need to work on. That's why the challenge is here over and over again throughout the Old and the New Testament. So God, how can I be used of you in the midst of all of this? Trials are opportunities. Decisions are opportunities. It is an opportunity for you to rely on God and see what He has for you. It's an opportunity to say, okay, well, if God is pointing me in this direction, He must have something for me in my future that will be pleasing to Him. How can I be used of Him in the place that I'm at? And it doesn't matter what it is. You could lose your job today and have to get a new job. Well, how can I be used of you in this new workplace? How can I share Christ with others in this new workplace? Or maybe you have a new family member come in. Like this Saturday, I'm doing a wedding. Melissa's sister, Virginia, is getting married. So we have this new guy, Spencer. He'll be coming into the family. He's already here, but you know what I mean. He's going to be united with the family. How can I share Christ with him? Now, he's saved already, but how can I be a good example to him? You know, and so that as a good brother-in-law, how can we grow in Christ together? And we think about that sort of thing. It's hard for us to grasp, but this is how we must think. Whether it's a decision that takes time or whether it's fast, we have to train ourselves to have an immediate focus on God. And in all things acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths, right? The Bible tells us. God is awesome. You know, He gives us His Holy Spirit to guide us. He gives us the Word of God. But He also gives us other believers. That's good. We can get advice from other people too. So God does not just say He is the only one. He is the primary one that we go to. Him, the Word of God, we pray, it's the Holy Spirit. But you know, He gives us people in our lives that can help us too. You know, in the book of Proverbs, it says in 11:14, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Now, try to take that principle. You place it upon God first. Without His counsel, we're going to be in a hard spot in our lives without His counsel if we're not heeding to it. But put that in the church setting today, just that principle of this verse. Isn't it good to be in a place where you can go to other people of the faith and hash things out with? What should I do in this situation? Now, that's what you shouldn't totally rely on that, but it is much better to go to a believer than a non-believer. But that believer also needs to be stable in their faith. There's many believers who are not. So it's okay to get advice. It doesn't mean you call your friends on a daily basis to ask them what shoes you should wear and stuff like that. But we're talking about important decisions. It's okay to seek advice. But understand this. As a fellow believer, before you ask advice, Don't waste the other person's time. Now, that sounds rude, doesn't it? But think about it. How many of us, when we go to talk about an issue or a problem, we're not asking for advice at all. We're asking for permission. We're asking for justification to do what we already plan on doing. If you're going to go ask advice, whether it's from a friend or a pastor or whoever, make sure you go with a mind that is open, a mind that has already not been made up. And even if you think you know what the answer is, be open in your mind. Because that is harmful to your relationship with that other believer. You know, if you go and say, man, I don't know if I should date this girl or not. I always use the word Susie. Sorry, Susanna, but it's just Susie so easy to say. So it's not Susanna. It's just a different Susie. So there's this Susie that somebody wants to, you know, your friend, I don't know if I should go out with her. And they're a believer, you know, person asks you, they're a believer, but Susie's an unbeliever. They already want to go out with Susie. So they come in and they say, she's such a nice girl. She is very polite and nice and she's fun. She likes all the same things that I do. And then you say, well, is she a believer? And they say, well, no, but I think I can change her, you know, convert her, you know. What's your advice? No, the Bible says not be unequally yoked one with another, right? So you give them that advice, but they don't want to take it. They already have made up their mind. And then you go after getting that advice and you call her right after leaving that meeting and you ask her out on a date. Then your other friend finds out you're going out and you're like, am I worthless? Is my advice not worth anything to you? And then you have just caused division between the two of you. But not only that, you have sinned against God by taking that action. So we go to get advice. Why? Because we want to make the right decision in what way? In a way that glorifies God, not that pleases our own desires. And friends, it's so easy to think about ourselves. I understand that. But we also need to go to people that are established in the faith or maybe have gone through something successfully. And, you know, say a 15-year-old wants to run away from home, he probably shouldn't go to another 15-year-old and ask their advice because both of them are mad at their parents. They're 15. They're mad at their parents. That's just the way it is. No. So they go, no, who should they go to? They should go to somebody, you know, who is older, who maybe a youth pastor or whoever, someone who can give them some advice, or maybe go to your parents and tell them, talk to them. That'd be a good idea. Or maybe you're experiencing a rough patch in your marriage and you're not sure who to go to. Well, you don't call up Elizabeth Taylor and ask her for advice, right? She's married 5 million times or however many times it was. Right? That's not who you go to for advice. You go to people who are strong in the faith, been married a long time, and at least can fake it in front of you that they have a good marriage, right? All right, so who do we go to? What do you look for? Well, the people need to have the same attributes as Almighty God, except that they're not Almighty God. But some of the same attributes need to be there in the person you go to for advice. Experience, they must have a proven track record in the area where you're seeking advice, or at least have a good understanding of the Word of God and what it says about that situation. So experience isn't everything. Example, if you have a pastor who's married and never been divorced, he doesn't have experience in divorce, but he has experience in how to keep his marriage together, and he knows the Word of God, right? So you go to him. A person who is wise, they have a sensible approach to life. But also they're a person who's impartial. They don't stand to gain something from advising you one way or the other. They just simply care about you. And that's how God is. He cares about us. That is his concern for us, to walk in a way that his blessings can flow upon our lives. And yes, it gives him glory and he cares about his glory. as he can and deserves, and he is worthy of it. And so we don't judge him for that, but he wants us to glorify him. But think about the advice that he gives to us is always advice for the betterment of ourselves and the world. The world. Because he wants to see the lost saved. Now, when we turn this back upon ourselves, we've gone to God, we've asked for wisdom and advice, how we can glorify him in the situation. Maybe you've gone to other people. But it all comes down to us and our decision and what we are going to make. And so you kind of have to ask yourself some hard questions. And I guess the easiest way for me to put it, are you a person, you know, because of your faith, of course, a person of integrity? That makes a big difference in your decisions that you make each and every day. You know, if a cashier gives you back $50 in extra change, you know, do you keep that money? No, you give it back, right? We don't have to say anything about that. Or maybe you see, oh, here's a harder one. Maybe you see something that you really want, and it's laying on the ground somewhere. Someone dropped it. Finders keepers. And so you go and you grab it and you take it for yourself. That is not living by integrity either. You should probably leave it there in case a person knows where they dropped it. You can't help it if someone else steals it, right? But you can help it if you steal it. You leave it there for the other person to come back and find because you know, guess what? It's not yours, right? So walk by integrity. If I was to say, is it right for us to lie? We'd all say no, right? Is it right for me to cheat on my tax return? Well, no. That's tempting, but no, right? Is it right for me to commit adultery? Is it right for me to yell at my wife and treat her poorly? Well, no. All these things are actually in the Bible, by the way. Even the taxes, we're to pay Caesar to Caesar what is Caesar's. And treating your wife and your children poorly, that's unbiblical. You know, treat them with kindness and love. Is it right for me to neglect my children? Absolutely not. My character defines who I am as a person, as the world sees me. And that's how people judge us, by our actions. But our actions, before that action took place, there was a decision that had to be made. And we can make the wrong one. It is good for others, for us to be the best we can be in Jesus Christ by his example, by his power. In that divine nature we have. You know, Philippians 2:4 talks about let each of you look out, not, you know, only for your self-interest or your own interest, but for the interest of others. That's a poor paraphrase, but that's what that verse is talking about. Selfish decisions, don't please God. They never please God. Just like in the Bible where it says, without faith it is impossible to please God, you will also find that a selfish decision will not please God. He always wants us to care about how our decisions affect other people. Of course, in the faith, but also outside of the faith, because he wants to see them saved. You know, a lot of times we use the verse Matthew 6:33 when we talk about God meeting our needs, and we kind of skip over that first part of the verse where it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first. Why does it say that? Because we're supposed to seek that first. We're supposed to have God in our sights all the time and not our own selfish desires. And if we do, our decisions will be based off of that. And we'll be making the right decision because it glorifies God in the end. With decisions come actions, and your actions determine something. And that is whether or not, as a believer, you're abiding in Christ or not. And we want to abide in Christ. That's beneficial to us and to other people. So are all your thoughts and decisions, are they focused on you, your own desires and the convenience of life, or are they based off of what you know God has in store for you? Are they based off of that and His promises? And so that's your challenge for this week. Think about that. Think about Almighty God first in every one of your decisions, and you'll make the right one when you think about that. All right, well, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the Word of God and all the wisdom that it gives to us. And Lord, there are just verses upon verses that talk about this topic today. And I pray, Lord, that we would apply them to our lives, that we wouldn't be so selfish in our decision making, but think upon others. And in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.